is this?
Rex Allen Jr.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is this our official state song?
It's one of them. We actually have two, the Arizona March song and then this song by Rex Allen Jr. I Live in Arizona.
You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. We're broadcasting live from the Arizona State Capitol Mall in the shadows of the Arizona State Capitol Building, the original territorial Capitol Building, and is now stands as a museum to civil government and the history of all the legislative and legal proceedings that have taken place in the state of Arizona. Mrs. Kim Crawford is here as communications manager of the museum. Y'all be opening the doors here. Like right now.
Now, yes, come on down. We're open for business. Parking and admission are free. You can learn all about the state. When we were 104 years ago, tomorrow, we will have been a state, and we are just here and open and ready for you to come on down.
Fantastic. We'll be, y'all are open till when
2
today?
2 p.m.
Till 2 today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fantastic. Now, just before we kind of got squeezed out of the last segment of the last hour, we had Don Ryden beginning to tell us a story about the legislative sessions being held in Tucson.
That's right. In what was it, 1870s?
Early 1870s.
Yeah, 1870s. The capital, territorial capital, was moved down to Tucson, and because there was no capital building, what else could you meet in but Charles O. Brown's saloon? And thus his saloon became known as the Congress Saloon, which then lends its name to Congress Avenue and the Congress Hotel and so forth down in Tucson. So that term Congress in Tucson all relates to that period in time when the state or the territorial legislature was in that town.
State government's actually still on Congress Street in Tucson today, the satellite offices.
And whose bar was it?
Charles O. Brown's.
That's the kind of interesting little facts that we're going to be uncovering for you today as we broadcast live with Don Ryden of Ryden Architects. And we have Dr. Jack August from the state of Arizona. Let's talk more about some of the interesting figures. We've talked about Father Kino. We've talked about the father of Arizona, Poston. You were talking a little bit about yours truly, John Smith.
Yeah, John Y.T. Smith, who was one of the great entrepreneurs. He started off as the sutler. That name changes to procurement officer after he musters out of the army from Fort McDowell. He built Fort McDowell Road.
Okay.
And so that's from the, you know, he imitates what Jack Swilling does a little bit upstream or downstream. And he diverts some water, grows a hay crop, and starts providing goods and services to Fort McDowell, the military installation. And so that route from the Salt River Valley up to Fort McDowell, where Indian Reservation is, well, he really carved out that first road back 1868, 1869. So he's an early pioneer that a lot of people don't know about. But there's, you know, other more well-known ones. But he's research and some fun.
And check me here, with all the Spanish heritage of Arizona, wasn't it an Irishman that founded Tucson? O'Connor.
Oh, Hugo O'Connor. Yeah, he was a military man. Now, you know your borderlands history. There were a lot of Irish in the service of the crown because of Catholicism. They shared a religious worldview that was similar, and that was, and also the German Jesuits. We have a lot of people, Pfefferkorn. A lot of the Jesuits were very well educated, and they went into the service of the crown and the church. And so we have a lot of German named Settlemeyer, a common name you can see in Tucson today, and many others. So we had German Jesuits, and you even hear some of the oompa, some of the music. You still hear that kind of German cadence and some Spanish Mexican song. So it's multi-ethnic, certainly Mexico as it spread south to north into this area.
Well, I'm due for another little tour of the Green Valley Cockery area here in the very near future, and it's always an area of the state I really enjoy because it really is one of the oldest areas of European habitation in all of North America.
Yeah, I agree there, and then from Santa Fe to the north, that we share a little southern Arizona and northern New Mexico share some common historical themes and some common names and families as well.
Don, have you been to the Presidio State Park and seen the basement excavations of the original?
In Tubac.
Yeah.
Back when I was a baby architect working for Jerry Doyle, he was the one who was designing for Arizona State Parks, and that is the underground exhibit experience that he designed that lets you see the archaeology in place, in situ, there underground. So you go down steps and look through the truth windows. And
really
back
did
up.
It well. It's
yes.
Really, it really is a nice state park. Let's talk about, we talk about this building constructed as a territorial capital in 1901. Italian, what did you call it?
Italian Renaissance.
Renaissance.
Revival.
Now, there is another one or two suggested modifications to this building and or a new location.
Oh, well, yeah, the new location was proposed at the height of Arizona's boom growth after the war in 1957, of all people to come in unbidden by the legislature.
Uninvited.
Uninvited advice from an architect. Frank Lloyd Wright had a new vision for a better way to express the essence of Arizona by building an oasis capital nestled among the buttes in Papago Park. And so he came up with this idea of having an organic-looking kind of pavilion with buildings beneath it and spires atop it that blended right into the rocks. And actually, the covering over the oasis had a hexagon grid to it. It looked like a beehive. And so that was his grand idea. He did this sketch gratis and presented it to the legislature. Who
now, Kim, we actually have a rendering of that or a model of that in the Capitol Museum, don't we?
It's not in the Capitol Museum. It's actually on the Arizona Memory Project.
Okay.
But I take that back. There is a small plaque in regards to Oasis as part of the fourth floor exhibit. But there's more information on the Arizona Memory Project, which is underneath the Capitol Museum, and I just posted the link on our Facebook post, AZ Capitol Museum, so you can see, go on there and see exactly what Frank Lloyd Wright planned. What you'll notice most recognizable for most people would be the spire that is in Oasis is actually out on Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard. Well, a smaller version of the spire is on Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard, but that was the inspiration for that spire.
Okay, very good. So, Don, the building is constructed in 1901. The entire legislative body meets here. And when do we start adding all these other buildings?
Well, by 1919, state had grown a good deal based on irrigation and the Roosevelt Dam in 1911. And so there is an addition to the west behind the Capitol Rotunda, which was built in 1919, replicating the same style, just extending to the back. Now, that's pretty interesting because the original architect, James Riley Gordon of San Antonio, Texas, had actually done his expansion ideas on the wings rather than on the tail. But Orville Bell designed this link to the rear, which also envisioned further expansion for the 1938 edition, and that is what contained the huge expanded library for the archives and the state library.
At that point, we're staying with the theme of this building. We're staying with the theme of this architecture. It goes out the back, and then what happens?
Well, out the back, then there's still an explosion of growth in Arizona, and so they build on the corner, diagonal from the Capitol, the administration building. Wasn't that in 16, something like that? 1916. And that building is in a classical style as well, but it has mission tiles on it, so it is more...
That's this building across the street?
Correct, to the north... east of the Capitol block. And so that was the next expansion. Finally, in the 1960s, Lesher and Mahoney designed the matching boxes on either side flanking the Capitol building in neo-formalism style, one for the state Senate and one for the House of Representatives.
And when the legislature's in session, they're in these two buildings.
Correct.
Yes. And is there a lot of, there isn't any more much need, I mean, they've got to get from here to the Executive Tower back and forth all the time, don't they?
Oh, they just go through the museum because we're free admission, and so they just walk through the museum. It's easy access to the Executive Tower. They just walk right on through if they need to go to the governor's office, and likewise back our way. So there's really easy access it between the three buildings.
And there was one concept at one time of skywalking this whole mall, wasn't there?
Yeah, once again, an architect with an idea of an unbidden request. Our firm, along with MRT Design, came up with skywalks between these two flanking buildings and the second floor and third floor of the state capitol to link them. And it was there for security and safety reasons and fire escape reasons from the old building.
Well, and I have to imagine when session drags into July and August, an air conditioning skywalk would beat walking across this mall area occasionally. We're broadcasting live from the Capitol Mall. It's Rosie on the House. If you'd like to join the conversation with Mrs. Kim Crawford, Communication Managers of Arizona Capitol Museum, Don Ryden, architectural historian and owner of Ryden Architects, as well as Dr. Jack August with the State Historical Office. We're all here talking Arizona history. You can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. Dr. August has a list of characters here. Carl Hayden, Goldwater, Burton Barr, Deacon Cini, Polly Rosenbaum, Rose Mofford, Mr. Ashurst, Moses Sherman, the Babbitts, and Ladmo. All people we'll be talking about when we get back right here at Rosie on the House.